Anyway, this morning, let's get right into it. I want to preach, as you can see on the screen there, when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough. So Deuteronomy chapter 20, begin verse number 1. Says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, listen to what he said. Do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. You see what he's saying there? Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I wanted to do a follow-up to last week's message. Last Sunday, again, being the very first Sunday that we were able to get back together in person, at least in this type of setting. We were on the parking lot for 3 weeks, which was a blast. I really had fun. I really expected people to bring horns in here. It was just so much fun. But one of the things that I prayed about as we started, again, getting back together is what is the word that we need as a body coming out of this pandemic? And so I really felt like the Lord, again, I preached last Sunday, forward march was my message, and I really believe that that's the word that God has for us as we come out of this pandemic. It is our posture as a church. Again, from the eldest among us to the youngest, we should be in that posture of moving forward, not sitting static. And I really believe, and I truly believe with every fiber of my being, this is our finest hour. As for the church, for the body of Christ, now I'm going to be, they laughed at me in the early service, but I'm going to be the double nickel in November. I mean, it's 55. I'm going to be 55 in November. Of course, they're all 80, and so they laughed at me. But here's the thing. In my 55 years, I've never seen an opportunity like we have right here now. Oh, there have been times and there have been seasons where we've seen the hand of God moving and operating. But right now, we have an incredible opportunity to shine unlike any other time in our history. And I really believe that this is our finest hour if you and I will recognize it, number one, and then number two, lay a hold of these uncertain times. Listen, just because these times are uncertain doesn't mean that we can't advance the kingdom. Amen? That doesn't mean we can't. Now, they say that an opportunity of a lifetime is only only an opportunity of a lifetime if it is seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. What does that mean? It just simply means this, that opportunities can pass us by. You know, the Bible talks about knowing the day of visitation. Opportunities can pass us by if we fail to recognize and grab hold of it. You know, so what I'm doing today and last week and today is I'm sounding an alarm to the church. Again, no matter what your generation is right now, I'm sounding an alarm to the church to arise and shine like never before. Hear me, church, it's time to shine. Now, I say this, the posture has been one of two things when it comes to the church. Some churches have totally shut down during the last 2.5 months or whatever. And then some churches have just haven't stopped. And again, I'm not waiting on either one, but I really believe that this is an incredible opportunity and it goes against my DNA to shut down. So we have been so busy. But I'm sounding an alarm because I really believe, and I'm looking at varying ages here this morning, it's time for the church to rise up and shine like never before. It's time for new ministries to be birthed among us. It's time for new outreaches to be started to impact. And I want you to hear this, an ever-increasing cynical world. I want you to hear that. We live right now in 2020, an ever-increasing cynical world. Cynicism is running amok in our society. You think about what Isaiah talked about. Isaiah talked about a time when people would call right wrong, good and evil, and vice versa. And we see that right now. There are people, and again, the church has become a target because we stand for holiness and righteousness and what have you. And so I think it's time for the church to stand up and give the true message of Christ to a lost and dying world. We've taken it on the chin this year. With this coronavirus, I'm a realist. We've taken it on the chin. The body of Christ has taken it on the chin. But I want you to hear this. We've not been taken out. While we've taken one on the chin, we've not been taken out. And if the church will dare to rise and step out in bold obedience, we will see the victory. We will see the victory. We will see new paths. We will see new opportunities that we, 3 months ago, we never would have dreamt possible. Now is being made possible because of all of this. Again, there's a lot of uncertainty in our time, and maybe even not just uncertainty, but maybe there's a great deal of apprehension on how our country might look once we come out of this crisis. Again, I don't know what it's going to look like. I have no idea. Again, I'm a patriot through and through. I have no idea what our nation is going to look like. People are anxious. They're frightened. They're depressed. Many of them are even hopeless. This is why I say it's our finest hour, because you and I have something the world doesn't have. Do you remember when Jesus was born, the story of the birth of Christ? The Bible says that these shepherds were out in the field watching their flock by night. Okay? Amen. They were out watching. They're watching their flocks by night. Hey, I'm telling you, you got to start them right. You got to start them right. And it's dark, okay? And again, there's a lot going on there, but the Bible says in the middle of the night, in the darkness of the night, the angels burst through and they came with a message. You remember what the message was? Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. See, that's why I say this is our finest hour, because amid all of the darkness, all of the chaos, all of the uncertainty, you and I as Christians, as believers, have been called to shine the message of good tidings of great joy to all people that we come in contact with. Again, for us as a believer, do you know that one of the covenant blessings that you have as a child of God is that you have a joy that is unspeakable? And if that wasn't enough, the Bible also says because we have peace, we have the peace, we're at peace with God, we have the peace of God, which does what? Which surpasses understanding. So as a believer, amid all of the uncertainties that we're going through right now, none of us have a need of fear because we have His joy and we have His peace that carry us. That's why I say it's our finest hour. God has not called us to hide behind locked doors because of the uncertainty. You remember what the disciples were doing after Jesus was crucified? In John's gospel, it says that they went and hid behind closed doors. Why? Because they were afraid. They were afraid that the people that did this to Jesus were coming after them. That's where they were found. Listen, God's not called us to hide behind closed doors with all of the uncertainty. You know what He's called us to do? He's called us to go and make disciples of all people. That's what He's called us to do. Listen, we have to recognize that not only is there uncertainty that we live in today, there's a spiritual battle going on. It would be quite deceiving for us to think anything otherwise. We are living in a time of unprecedented spiritual warfare. There's battles going on. And if we're not careful, all of the gloom and doom reports will overwhelm us and cause us to become anxious and instead of peaceful. We will become fearful instead of faithful. What I said to the early service, I'll say it here, turn off the television. Be careful what you read, because there are purveyors of depressing news. Again, I'm puzzled that you can get two people with the same credentials telling you total opposite things. And what happens is, if you're not careful, that will, it's like the old story, and supposedly it was based on a true story. There was a college football game where this dog ran out on the football field, stopped the ball game, and everybody starts calling for that dog. So your dog, you're in the middle of a football field, you've got 80,000+ people calling and whistling at you. You know what that dog did? Just ran around in circles. Just ran around and around, because he couldn't figure out where to go. Because there were so many things out there vying for his time and our attention. Listen, there's so much gloom and doom out there. If we're not careful, we'll just do this. We'll just go round and round and round and round, and we'll never get anywhere. That's not what God's called us to do. I mentioned last week that none of this pandemic has delayed the plan of God. Amen. Not one moment. Hasn't even slowed His plan down. Hasn't even stopped His timeline. Not even a blip on His timeline. Because God knows the beginning from the end. You know what? God's right on time with everything. That means that whatever you're going through right now, whatever situation that you're facing, I promise you, it may look like you're going under, but you're not, because God's an on-time God. You and I serve an on-time God. He will come through every time, always on time. You know, I used to pray, Lord, I know you're never late, but you do miss a lot of opportunities to be early. You know, you do miss a lot of opportunities to be early. I mean, but he's never late. He's always on time. And let me just give you this real fast. In our text, let me tell you what's going on. Let me give you the background. In our text, Moses is explaining to the second generation of Israelites who were about to inherit the promised land. Now, you remember last Sunday, I talked about how that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to get them into the promised land. But because they rebelled and disobeyed God, God sentenced them to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So for 40 years, this generation wandered in the wilderness until they died because of their disobedience to God. And so now it's time for their children to inherit the promised land. So this is the second generation that of Israelites. Again, their fathers and their mothers refused to obey God, and so they forfeited their inheritance. But it was now time for this generation to step up and possess their possession. So before they go into the promised land, this is what's going on in the context of our story. Before they go into the promised land, the covenant with God is renewed, okay? So they're renewing the covenant. The law is given for the second time. Now, that's what the word Deuteronomy means, okay? Second time. So they're hearing this for the second time. Now, I want to give you a powerful truth because this is a younger crowd from the earlier service. I want to give you a powerful truth. Every generation is going to have to embrace the plan of God for themselves. Many of you have been here long enough. You've heard my story many times. I grew up in church. I'm third generation Assembly of God. My grandfather founded the church I grew up in Mobile, Alabama. And I can't ever remember not going to church. By the time I was, and you've heard me say this before, by the time I was 7 years old, I could marry you, bury you, baptize you, or preach under conviction because I'd seen it done so many times. I memorized scriptures. I've got my book in my office from 1975. I was 10 years old. I memorized, as a junior boys Sunday school class, I memorized more scripture than anybody else. And I got a book. It's still in my office. I'll pass it down one day to my grandkids and down the line. But I went to church. But if you, again, you've heard my story. When I was 17, a junior in high school, I rebelled against everything I believed, everything I was taught to believe. 17, I ran away from home as a junior in high school, totally got mixed up in stuff that I did not even necessarily believe in. You know why I did that? Because the faith wasn't mine. See, I grew up trying to live off mom and dad's faith. I grew up trying to live off my parents' faith. It was good enough for them, so it, by virtue of osmosis, maybe, it was good enough for me. But it was never my faith. And so when it really came time to challenge me and what I truly believed, I went with the things of the world. And I just started doing all of these things that the world told me I needed to do to be happy, to be accepted, to be liked, or whatever. And it, you know what? It left me bankrupt. Because I wasn't living my faith. I was living off my parents' faith. But in 1985, in that barracks, again, you know my story, in San Antonio, Texas, I had a conversion experience where my parents' faith became my faith. And I've not varied from that path since 1985. See, what I'm saying is that every generation is going to have to embrace it for themselves. We cannot live off of our parents' faith. Every generation has to hear God's voice for themselves and live in obedience to His commands. And in our text, you know, we find out how to face the uncertainties when the going gets tough. What do we do? Well, look at what Moses says. After he rehearses the history of Israel, how they got there, how the Lord delivered them, and how their parents refused to obey, listen to what Moses said. He said, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots. Now, you know what he's talking about here? When he says you see horses and chariots, you got to remember these were slaves. These people were raised in bondage. Their parents were slaves. They were nomadic in that they wandered all over the wilderness. They were not people of war. And so all of a sudden, he says, look, when you go into the land, you're going to see horses and chariots. In other words, you're going to face weapons that are not, you don't have the same weapons. Not only that, he said, look, you're going to face horses and chariots, things that you've not come in contact with before, but he also says this, and the people more numerous than you. In other words, here's what he's saying to them. You're going to be outnumbered and outgunned. Anybody ever felt like that? Outnumbered and outgunned? That's what he's saying. When you go into inherit your promise and you feel outnumbered and outgunned, listen to what he said. Do not be afraid of them. Wow, is that a word for 2020 right now? Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. You know what he's doing? He's reminding them, hey, God brought you out to bring you in. Listen, every one of us has a story. I don't care how young you are. You have a story of how God's always been there for you. You know, when we're young, we think about God. You know, what was that VeggieTale thing? Something under the bed? What was it? Bigger than the boogeyman. That's right. Bigger than the boogeyman. You know, so maybe as a little kid, that's how you reference the omnipotence of God, is that, hey, there's a boogeyman and God gives me peace about it. Okay? But as you get older, the boogeyman changes and you've got different things nowadays. But we all have a story. If God did it for me yesterday, he'll do it today. And if he does it today, he'll do it tomorrow. So that's what Moses reminded them of, is that, look, when you go in and you face things that you've never faced before, when you feel outnumbered and outgunned, don't be afraid of them, because the same God who delivered you then is the same God that'll do it today. Amen. See, that's the message to the church as we come out of this pandemic, as the church is looking for new opportunities and new ministries and new ways to shine the light of Christ in a darkened world. We have to face it with no fear whatsoever, because the Lord is with us. See, they were moving into their inheritance, but it was going to be a battle. Listen, it's foolish for us to think that the enemy is going to just lay down and let us take what God wants to give us. It's a battle. They're going to face off against some powerful enemies in order to get what God wants them to have. I want to tell you that during a time of unparalleled global shutdown, don't be afraid. I don't know what you brought in with you this morning. I don't know the crisis that you might be in. I don't know the size of the obstacle or the mountain that you're facing. I don't know. But trust him. When it looks like jobs will be scarce and layoffs will be many, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When it looks like you have far more bills than you have dollars, don't be afraid. How is it possible not to be afraid? How can we overcome fear and anxiety when we look at all, when we look outside and all we see is the enemy's been amassed against us? How do we do that? Well, Moses just put it like this. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I think that one of the things that creates so much stress and anxiety in the believer today is we have short memories. We have short memories. See, we forget about the pickle that we were in just a month ago, that God supernaturally came through and brought us through, and we somehow think, okay, this is, amen. God's faithful. I mean, how many of us just a month ago or 2 months ago or 3 months ago, God came through right on time, and we got a bonus that we didn't expect? Or, you know, when I was, Sheila and I, when we first moved here to Texas, and I was unemployed those 10 months, I got rebate checks for things I didn't even know I owned. You know, when we think about, I'm just telling you that God met our need. We never had excess, you know, but we always were able to meet obligations, because, again, I'd go to the mailbox and I'd find something in there, a rebate for $25. That's something that I maybe bought that I didn't realize I bought. God always comes through. And if he did it then, he's the same God. There's a theological term, immutable. Now, that's a big word. It just simply means God's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God has come through for you before, he'll do it again. Moses reminds them that God brought them out of Egypt. It was God who broke the will of the Pharaoh. It was God who brought Israel out, the Bible says, with a strong arm. It was God who parted the Red Sea. It was God who enabled them to walk across on dry ground. It was God, when they got hungry, provided manna for them to eat. It was God, when they got thirsty, provided water from a rock. I've been to the Negev twice. Some of the most arid places on the earth. And yet in the middle of the desert where there's no resources available, and they say, God, we're thirsty. God says, hang on, I got a rock here. Hit that rock and it cries, rivers to nourish the people. Don't tell me God can't do it. He does it all the time. See, God provided for them. The same God that was with them at the beginning is the same God that is promised to go ahead of them, to give them the inheritance that he's given to them. Throughout history, things have been tough. You know, you think about the Great Depression. Can I be honest with you? There are people today that would teach that if you become a Christian, you'll never have another worry in your life. Listen, pardon my grammar, that ain't true. Amen. That's not true at all. Listen, I'm all for the blessings of God and the favor of God, but you know what? Jesus said in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Listen, in the Great Depression, you think about how bad it was in the Great Depression. Even right now, Great Depression, Christians had it just as tough as everybody else. Just because they identified as a Christian didn't mean they got special treatment. Christians were in soup lines like everybody else. Christians lost their job like everybody else. Churches struggled to make ends meet and help meet needs. And by the way, thank you for your faithfulness. We put these boxes on the in the back to receive tithe and offer. Thank you for your faithfulness. That's what enables us to keep doing what we do. Churches struggled to make ends meet and to help people with so many needs. But you know what? Here's what happens. When the tough time was abated, you know what happened? The church was still there. Christians were still there. People were still praising. Preachers were still preaching. Souls were still being saved, and songs were still being sung. The same God who brought them out then will bring them in again. We have to remember what God's already done for us. If God's been faithful, hang on to that. Cherish what God is doing. The same God who came through for you time and time and time again is the same one who will not desert you right now, even though you may feel like it. Somebody watching this morning online, you need to know that. That what you're feeling right now, that loneliness and isolation, God's got you. Trust Him. Walk with Him in covenant relationship. God's got you. He'll take care of you, I promise. Listen, Moses continues in verse 2, and I'm hurrying up. In verse 2, he says that when they're on the verge of battle, okay, they're about to move in. He said when you're on the verge of the battle and it appears like everything's about to hit the fan, God will send His messenger, His priest. And here's what He says. And the priest is going to declare, and he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies." You know what that's about? It's about facing reality. It's about facing reality. This isn't about denial. It's not about sugarcoating the obvious, okay? You've heard me say for years, I'm a realist. I'm an eternal optimist, but I'm a realist. I understand these are terrible times. Paul called them perilous times. This is a battle. This is a battle that we can't hide from. We can't wish it away. We can't bury our head in the sand and act like there's not a battle. Today, church, we're on the verge of a battle. We're in a fight. Okay? Who are these enemies that we're fighting against? Well, for the Israelites, it was the Jebusites, the Perizzites, the Ammonites, the Perizzites, and all the other ites. You know, whatever they were. That was the enemy. But for us, it's like Paul said, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the enemy of the church. The enemy of the church promotes an agenda that stands in opposition to the moral standards of God's word. They deny Christ, the Son of the living God. They deny the sanctity of life or the sacredness of marriage. They ignore the plight of the mistreated and the marginalized, and they pad their pockets while they ignore the poor. Somebody asked, why did we do all that we did during this pandemic? Why did we serve lunches all those weeks? And why did we go and mow people's yards, strangers that we didn't know, deliver groceries? Why did we give out 1,000 boxes of groceries on Friday? Why? Because we can't ignore the plight of humanity when Jesus calls us to be tangible representations of who He is. Amen. My prayer through all of this is, Lord, may I be your hands and your feet. I used to pray this prayer. I said it this morning in early service. I used to pray this prayer every day. Lord, anoint my eyes that I might see the way you see. Anoint my ears that I might hear what you would say. Anoint my lips that I might speak your word. Anoint my hands that I might touch the way you touch, and my feet that I might go where you bid me to go. That was my prayer every day for years. Lord, let me see the human need around me. There's so many people in opposition. I taught on Wednesday night on mercy. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is not an emotional, gooey feeling of compassion. It is a response of action. When I have mercy on someone, I recognize their need. I'm motivated to do something, and then I get up and I do it. That's why we do what we do. That's why when the phone rings, we don't hesitate to say, hey, let's see what we can put together and do what we can. Listen, our enemies are those spiritual things, those spiritual right now spiritual forces are set in battle array against the church in 2020, against God's word, against holiness, morality, and compassion. There's a battle being raged in church. We can't afford to be oblivious to it. We can't afford to get so caught up in our own little world that we forget there's another world that Jesus called us to reach that's hurting, that just needs light. They're in darkness. The priests are to declare the reality of the battle, but then they're to instill confidence in the people. Here's what he said. This is the priest said, hey, today you're on the verge of this great battle. But then notice what he said. Do not let your heart faint. Look at how many times he encourages them. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. And do not tremble or be terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. God didn't bring me this far to leave me. He didn't teach me to swim to let me drown. He didn't pick me up to let me fall down. He's with me. Notice that exhortation not to panic. They're to say, don't let your heart faint. Don't be afraid. Don't tremble or be terrified because of them. Listen, I've heard many people that have talked about how today they're so frightened and they're anxious about all of the uncertainty that we're living with. Well, listen, as the priest of this house, I came to declare to you today, do not be afraid. God's in control. God is in control and he'll take care of it. Amen. No need to fear. I love Revelation. I'm going to wrap this up. I love Revelation chapter 5. And I'm not here to preach on eschatology. Well, I'll do a series later this year on end time things. I really believe there's a lot of stuff lining up right now. But in Revelation chapter 5, I love this story. It opens up with John the Revelator. He's writing. Again, remember, he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Not because he was a danger to society, but because he was a preacher of the gospel. So as he's out there, he writes in chapter 5, verse 1, says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat upon the throne a scroll, okay, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now what is that scroll? That scroll represents the plan of God for humanity, okay? That scroll represents the plan of God for humanity. It represents the future for the people of God, and it represents the judgment against the world for those who oppose God and his people. So John sees this scroll in the right hand of God the Father, who's sitting on his throne, and John knows what it means. Okay? Then we find in verse 2, he says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen the seals, okay? And no man, listen to what he said, no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the scroll, neither to look at it. And then here's what his response was. And I wept much. Some translations say, he sobbed bitterly. He sobbed bitterly. Because no man was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to even look at it. Why was he weeping? He was weeping because if that scroll had not been unfurled, it meant that the plan of God for humanity would have never been realized. That's what it meant. It meant that all of the things that were happening would continue day, after week, after month. That, again, no hope, just the same old, same old. No future, no hope, no finality, no glorious coronation of the church. None of that happened. You know, it's kind of like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says it like this. If in this life only we have hope, then we, of all men, are miserable. What does that mean? It means if this life is all there is, this is terrible. This is terrible. You know, when I officiate a funeral, and that's not one of my favorite things to do, but when I officiate a funeral, one of the first things I want to know is, what's that person's relationship with Christ? Are they born again? Because if they're born again, then we have hope. We sorrow not as those who have no hope because we know where they are. Listen, if all we have is hope of a better tomorrow, I mean, think about it. If all we can do right now is hope that the government gets better. Yeah. Or hope we win the elections, or hope this, or hope that, and hope that the economy. If that's all we have to look forward to, then listen, we are most miserable. But if we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, If we believe that. Listen, and John knew that. John knew the scroll, if it had not been opened, then the plan of God would not have been unfurled, and we would still be just going through the same things, like the merry-go-round, round and round and round and round, not making movement, but not getting anywhere. John knew that. And so he cried. If this is all there is, church, we should be weeping right now. We should be afraid. We should be in despair. That should be our posture. But thank God, the story doesn't stop there. See, it's like Paul Harvey when I was stationed in Germany. One of the things Sheila and I, every night we'd go to bed, they had the Armed Forces Network radio there in Germany we would listen to every night. Every night at 10 o'clock before we'd turn the light out to go to sleep, we'd turn the radio on, and there would be Paul Harvey. Amen. And now, for the rest of the story. See, if this was all that I could tell you this morning, is that the gloom and doom and despair and the agony and all of this stuff around us is all there is, and we just need to hope for better days tomorrow, then you know what? This would be a sad, sad day. But the rest of the story is this. John writes in verse 5, and one of the elders said to me, "Weep not." He knew there was more to the story. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loosen the seven seals thereof." And he said, "I beheld, and lo, in the middle of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb as he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat upon the throne." What am I telling you this morning? Thank God for the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed. He's not going to prevail. We're not hoping that he does. He has prevailed, and he has overcome. And because of that, you and I have a future, and we have hope, and we have certainty right now amid all of the uncertainty. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, when he loosened those seals and he unfurled the plan of God, God's plan has not been altered from day one. No calamity, no pandemic, no epidemic, no situation, no war, none of that stuff has altered the plan of God from day one. And you know what? I want you to hear me this morning. It is working itself out right now. Whatever's going on in your life, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It is being worked out right now, friend. Nothing that man can do, not a king, not a president, not a senator, not a world leader, can stop the clock. It's ticking right now to that hour when the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord. It's happening, church. It's happening. Thank God, the Lion, who is the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the earth, has prevailed, and he's taken the scroll and he's unloosened the seals. Dale, come on back and play as I wrap this up. Listen, I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I don't know how this is going to unfold as we get back to some level of normalcy. I promise you that this church is doing all that we can, the staff, the team, doing all we can to minister to our church family, to reach out. We've got families that during this pandemic says, you know what, when everything gets back, I want to come to church. You guys have stepped up to the plate. You guys have hit home runs, and we want to be a part of a church that knows how to minister. Listen, I'm not disparaging anybody else. Please don't read between the lines. I'm just simply saying that people today need a tangible representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not what I say, it's what I do that makes the witness to a lost and dying world. Listen, that's in the macro. Let me bring it to the micro. In the micro, what's going on in your life? What are you dealing with right now? Those of you who are watching, what are you dealing with right now? What causes you stress and anxiety and fear? Listen, God sent me to tell you today, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't give in to fear, because God is with us. And not only is God with us, He said, "I will fight the battles for you." How can we lose, church? How can we lose? I've got God for me. I've got Jesus with me. And I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. How in the world can I be overwhelmed with the stuff of life when God knows? God's with you. He'll make a way when there seems to be no other way. He is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He is light in the darkness. That's who He is. He's a good, good Father. And I'm loved by Him. That's who I am. Listen, He's already put the enemy under our feet. All He requires is us to walk out in victory. See, our job here on earth is to enforce what He's already won. I'm not fighting a battle for victory. I'm enforcing what He's already done. I'm walking in His strength and power, and the enemy can't do anything for me. We're not afraid, and we're not overwhelmed. Listen, I don't know. We've got a lot of people that have different opinions about this. I'm in a place. We've got people that want to wear masks in church. God bless you. Go right ahead. I don't have any problem with that. Social distancing, I don't have any issue with that. I think we ought to be respectful of people with different opinions. But at the same time, there's no room for fear in our lives. No room for fear whatsoever. God's working at all things. He's working all things for our good. Listen, His plan will continue on until the day He presents us faultless before the one to whom we have to do. Would you stand with me this morning? Listen, the Lamb has overcome. And because He's overcome, you and I can. Listen, we walk out of here today, we walk out, we don't have to be intimidated by the stuff that's going on around us. We can walk with confidence that He who began a good work in us will be faithful to bring it to completion. I just want to close in prayer like this. Again, I look forward to the day when we can have our altars open. You know, I'm an altar guy. I love, because the altar is where people are altered. Doesn't mean He can't do it where you are, okay? That's not what I'm implying, but I love the... Here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray. If you're here today and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm facing something right now I don't quite know how to deal with. I'm facing something. I don't really know how to deal with it, and I don't want to walk in fear, and I don't want to be intimidated by the unknowns and the uncertainty. I want to have the confidence that God will be with me as I go into these uncharted territories. Listen, I do know there's a lot of uncertainties. I don't know. I wish I could tell you what's going to happen, but I can't. But I can promise you that in every uncertainty, there's one certain thing, and that is He reigns. He reigns, and He'll fight for you. Anybody here today say, Pastor, I've got some things. I just need God's peace and comfort in my life. Amen. Just write them right back down. That's okay. Because we do. We face things. You might be facing a mountain right now, and you don't know how in the world. It's a mountain. You don't know how you're going to get over it. Maybe like the children of Israel, the flood waters, the waters are at flood stage as you try to step over into your inheritance. That might be true. But you know what? If God has to stop it so you can walk over, He'll do that for you. He'll do it. Have faith in God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I love You so much. God, I thank You that this generation can hear, Lord, not just good stories. Lord, we can see faith in action. We can see the gospel in tangible fashion, Lord. Thank You for the service of this body that serves our fellow man with the outreaches and stuff that we do. God, thank You for their heart and their mind to be, again, a physical representation of Christ here on earth. May we never grow tired or weary of serving one another, Lord. May we never get frustrated with the call of kingdom assignment and kingdom living. May we, Lord, just relish in what You've called us to do. Now, Father, I pray for every hand that was raised today. God, I pray that whatever mountain is, however big that mountain is, God, You bring it down. Lord, You're willing to take the mountain and make it a plain so that we could cross over. Lord, every river that's at flood stage right now that seeks to prevent us from stepping into our inheritance, Lord, I pray, Lord, when that going gets tough, Lord, stop the headwaters and let us walk across on dry ground to inherit what You said we could have. Lord, I speak blessings and favor over every person in the house today and everyone watching this morning. Father, I pray that You go ahead of them and make their crooked way straight. Lord, bring provision in their life, bring healing and deliverance in their life. Lord, bring strength and spiritual stamina in their life. Lord, let this be their finest hour as You ramp up Your activity in and through their lives. Father, now I bless the ministry of Bethel Temple. God, I pray You'll continue to open doors. May we seize the opportunity that You've given to us right now. And may we walk boldly with confidence that You, who began a good work, will be faithful to bring it to completion. Go with us now. Give us a wonderful, restful day, Lord. Give us a great week. Ordered our steps, Lord. May they be ordered by you. Bring us at the next appointed time. May we shine like we've never done before. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you so much. See you next time.